Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod's Sleep Stories. My name is Arif, and tonight I will be your guide as we embark on a sleepy train journey through time. We'll explore the Renaissance in Europe, the late Edo period in Japan, the Wild West in America, and even modern day around the world. We'll rest in our cozy train car as the changing world moves around us, giving us glimpses of beautiful landscapes, famous people, and important moments and movements in history. Before we begin, however, let us take a moment to relax and find comfort in the space that we are in here and now. Close your eyes and allow your body to sink into the mattress beneath you. Here and now, you have no obligations. There is no to-do list. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. As you take those deep breaths, notice how your body sinks deeper and deeper into the mattress with every exhale, allowing you to get more and more cozy in this safe, welcoming place. And as you sink into your bed, growing more comfortable, try and imagine the sun shining on your skin. It is a warm, mellow, and easy summer day. There is nowhere to be, no one to see, nothing to do. Here and now, you can simply just be. With your eyes closed, it isn't entirely clear where you are, but it doesn't matter to you, because you can feel that warm sun on your skin. You feel it washing over your face, blanketing you with a sense of peace and calm. The golden rays of light allow any tension you've been carrying there to melt away. Your tongue falls away from the roof of your mouth. Your lips uncurl, not held up by any muscles or pressure there. Your eyebrows sink lower on your face, allowing your eyes to relax. They are not squeezed shut. They are gently closed, a diffuser that is allowing sunlight to just dance as colorful little patterns on the back of your eyelids. But the warmth of the sun isn't the only sensation that you feel at this moment. Your arms droop to the sides of you, and as they do, they brush against cool, refreshing water. The water runs along the palms of your hands and over your fingers, causing the muscles there to relax more and more. And as your hands relax, your arms and shoulders relax with it. Imagine your arms sinking into nice cool water, like a soothing bath on a hot summer day. It's almost like you're taking a dip in a pond, or perhaps a river. And then you become aware that you're floating. The bed you're in is peacefully floating atop moving water, winding down a river. There's a gentle breeze blowing, a breeze that brushes over your skin, making the hotness of the sun a little less overwhelming. You become more aware of that breeze as it washes over your legs, knees, and feet, relieving each and every joint of pain or pressure, and leaving you with absolutely no discomfort in your legs. Only once your body is fully relaxed, your face and head warmed by the gentle sun, your arms refreshed by the cool water, your legs light as the gentle breeze, do you notice the soundscape around you? You hear people walking over what sounds like cobblestone streets. There is no shouting, no bickering, no negativity. It sounds like everyone is enjoying this bright and promising summer day. You hear the click-clack of heels, the swishing of dresses, the laughs of children as they play some game somewhere. And when you really pay attention, you realize that everyone is speaking Italian. Not only that, but you can smell Italian cuisine wafting through the streets. You smell fresh baked bread, focaccia with rosemary and olive oil from the grove that's surely just down the street. You must be floating on a river of some kind, a canal in Italy. And my, is it peaceful. You can oddly smell that fresh cooking, along with the aroma of mixed paint, telling you that creations are being made, things are being forged. And finally, you find that your boat has stopped. You hear what sounds like the chug, chug, chug of a train. Now that we have taken the time to unwind and find comfort in the space that we are in, as well as begun to make our journey to the train, let us begin our story. You open your eyes on the boat to discover that you are, indeed, exactly where you thought you would be. You are in a city in Italy. The buildings are awash in bright colors, and the people are dressed in what appears to be Renaissance clothes. You rub your eyes to get a good look at them, rather confused on how you've ended up here. It feels like you're in the midst of a play, like you've stumbled into a dream of some kind, but you don't feel unsafe. On the contrary, you feel like somehow you're exactly where you're meant to be. "Excuse me," a woman's voice chimes just behind you. You turn slowly in the boat to meet her eye. She has a kind, warm face, with honey-colored eyes and a bright smile on her face. She's dressed in an outfit you've never seen before. She looks official, almost like a train conductor in a uniform. but the dress she's wearing is flowy, like it was plucked out of some strange time period in the past, or the future that has never or has yet to occur. "Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you," she says, "but I believe you have the pleasure of joining us on this train. Would you mind handing me the ticket out of your pocket?" You reach into your silk pajama pocket. Sure enough, just inside is a thick piece of paper. A ticket with green and blue writing on it, all in cursive. "All aboard the History Tour," is all it reads. But that gives you a sense of calm. You hand it to the woman, who stamps the ticket with her ticket puncher and hands it back to you with a smile. "Welcome aboard," she chimes. "A relaxing, peaceful journey through history awaits you." You step onto the train with no hesitation, and when you enter it, you're blown away by how luxurious yet cozy it is. The interior is finely crafted with mahogany. The large, plush green seats are not just seats, but large enough to be beds. Pillows that you could sink your whole body into sit beneath each window, offering travelers a place to rest their weary heads. You sit down on the seat with a relaxed sigh. The train car smells of so many soothing scents: chamomile, lavender, and steaming Earl Grey tea with just a dash of milk. You rest your head against the floor-to-ceiling window, breathing in the comforting aroma as you grow more and more comfortable in your seat. The train woman steps on and closes the door behind her. She gives you a nod, telling you that any moment now, you will be heading out. And you do. The train rumbles to life. Slowly, it begins to depart from the station, emitting big plumes of dark smoke in the sky that leave a magical, almost fairy tale-like trail behind you. You listen to the rhythm of the train, the rumble as it moves on along the tracks. You can practically picture the wheels moving around and around in perfect motion. The sound of that steady rhythm makes you a tad bit sleepy. It is something you can rely on, something you can always turn your attention to if you get too distracted by the scenery of history out of your window. But my, what beautiful scenery it is. You gaze out to see the stunning countryside of Italy, and as you do, you feel warmth in your hand. You look down at your ticket to see that it is glowing in a warm orange light. As it glows, words are slowly rearranged and change on the ticket face. Now, it reads Renaissance period. You are in Renaissance Italy. The Renaissance, or rather, a long Renaissance in Italy, was a period of time between the 1300s and the 1500s. After years of darkness and struggle, the people of the Renaissance period were able to experience life in earnest and not just survive, but thrive. The word Renaissance itself means rebirth in French. And this period of time was indeed a rebirth for the people of Europe. It was a period of time where people decided to actually look back in order to move forward. There was a renewed interest in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, not just in their society, but in their way of thinking, in their art, in their creations. For so long, the world had been focused on praising the gods, focused on good and evil and war. But during the Renaissance, people used time to reflect, time to think about the world around them. There was an increased interest in exploring our purpose on this earth, an increased interest in philosophy, in humanism, a belief in self, self-worth, and individual expression. And as you gaze out the window, you can clearly see that expressed in the Italian countryside here. The train winds past farm after farm, full of beautiful crops. There are olive trees, citrus groves, and lush gardens flourishing with vegetables. But the people aren't just working the fields, covered in grime and tired. There are people sitting under trees, relaxing in the light of the warm sun. There are even some people reading from books. It was during the Renaissance, in 1450, when Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press. For the first time in history, copies could be made of written works, which meant ideas could spread across the whole of Europe. And at the time, there were a lot of ideas to go around. These new books that people had access to gave them a more expansive view of their continent, of the world, and of their purpose. You watch as the train slowly meanders around a family farm. The father sits under a large, towering tree. You aren't sure what kind, but the wood is a warm, cinnamon color, and the leaves rise over their heads and provide shade like a massive canopy. The father turns a page in a book with a look of pride on his face as he reads the words aloud to his family. His wife has her head resting on his chest. and the children around him are staring at their father with wide, excited eyes, almost as if they can't believe the beautiful words they are hearing. It is a beautiful summer day, and all is right in the world on their cozy little farm on the outskirts of the city. You wind through more and more countryside, but in the distance, you spot a city growing on the horizon. And even from here, you have a sense of what city it is. It is the city that perhaps was influenced the most by the Renaissance, Florence, Italy. And what a sight the city is. The orange and red terracotta roofs are like a shining sun in a sea of mountains and forests. You can see the dome of the Cathedral of St. Mary of the Flower, or simply the Florence Cathedral, the most impressive building in the entire city. There is a reason that this city looks so much more luxurious, so much more aesthetically pleasing than the previous city that you saw. And that is because of the city's rulers. The Medici family were the rulers of Florence for much of the Renaissance. A family of incredible wealth, they spent their fortune on artists and creators. They hired painters and sculptors to create breathtaking art for both their family and the city itself. As you round the corner, you are able to see one of these artists at work. You chug along a beautiful city street. Flowers hang in the flower boxes all around you. People meander through the sunny streets without a care in the world. And then, as you come across a town square, you see it. A man standing before a statue. It's a statue you, and pretty much anyone in the world, would recognize immediately. It's the statue of David, created by Michelangelo. Here, in person, not hidden behind any museum ropes. It is even more breathtaking than you ever imagined. The body of the statue glistens in the sun, and only then do you realize that it has just been chiseled and is just being finished. The man standing below the statue is none other than Michelangelo himself. You watch in awe for quite a long moment, marveling at this special moment in history. And then the train continues on. As the train sails out of Florence, you are met once again with the countryside. And, to your surprise, the woman who helped you on the train comes over to your plush seat. She pulls out a tray and sets down multiple plates of food. At first, you are surprised. You've never seen food like this before. She explains that this is a meal that the wealthy would be able to have in Italy during the Renaissance period. And it truly looks delicious. On the plates before you are a roast pheasant and a large, fresh salad. The salad is topped with fennels and artichokes, and off to the side, There is a big, ripe peach, one of the sweetest ones you've ever tasted in your life. You dine on this amazing meal as the train continues to chug along. And there, in the distance, you spot something that you wouldn't expect to see in the countryside in Europe during this time period. You see a large tunnel carved into the mountainside. As you near it, a wave of color washes over you. You look around with a bit of confusion, unsure of what's to come next. But then, slowly, ever so slowly, you emerge into the light. And you are no longer in Italy, no longer in the Renaissance period. In fact, you are years and years later, and worlds away. The countryside beyond your window is drastically different from the countryside of Italy. The air simmers with humidity, and the landscape is even more lush and green and breathtaking. There are mountains beyond your window that rise high into the sky, so high, in fact, that their peaks are blanketed by a layer of thick mist, a haze that makes it even more mysterious. But when you spot something in the distance, the mystery of where you are exactly melts away, because before you, on the horizon, is a tall white castle. But it is not a European-style castle. It is a Japanese castle, with painstakingly designed sloped roofs and beautiful features. Its sides are painted a sleek, stunning white. Once more, you feel a warmth begin to radiate in your hand. You look down to see that glowing amber light, and within it, the words on your ticket begin to change once more, staring back at you, written in a blue and green font, is the Edo period. You are in Edo period Japan, in this case, the late Edo period. The Edo period was an era from 1603 to 1867. An era full of history, progress, and art. The period began with the governance of the Tokugawa shogunate and ended with the Meiji Restoration, which was marked by the restoration of imperial rule by the final shogun, Tokugawa Yoshinobu. During this time period, Japan was united for the first time under a single government. The true rulers were shoguns, not the emperors, who were mostly just figureheads. There was a strict social hierarchy in Japan at the time, though. It was a time where people of different social standings all seemed to flourish. At the time, Japan was almost entirely isolated from the rest of the world, except for some Chinese and Dutch traders that were only allowed to stay in a special quarter in Nagasaki. Much like the Renaissance, this was a period of time for reflection, for growth, and for art. People began to find even more of an interest in philosophy, specifically In Neo-Confucianism, the economy was incredibly stable during this time period, allowing for people to find joy in simple pleasures. It was during the Edo period that kabuki, a classical form of Japanese dance drama, developed, and many different kinds of art were able to come to the forefront and be enjoyed by the general public. It was the first time in history that people in urban areas had the time and the means to enjoy art and the urban lifestyle and culture, especially the pleasure-seeking aspects of it. This pursuit of pleasure and enjoyment became known as ukiyo-e, which means the floating, fleeting world. Geisha became popular, poetry flourished, and, perhaps most notable of all, woodblock art prints became something that people of almost all social standings could afford to buy. As your train rounds a corner, you find yourself in a traditional Japanese town. The buildings are crafted of wood and paper. The people are at peace, meandering down the streets, tending to their quaint gardens, enjoying the feeling of the sun and the warm breeze. But at the end of the street, you see something rather peculiar. There is a man bent over there, a man that is carving something into wood. As the train grows closer and eventually stops next to the man, you find yourself glued to the window. The art that he is carving is something you have seen hundreds of times before. It is one of the most parodied and referenced pieces of art in the entire world. It is the Great Wave off Kanagawa, and the artist sitting before you, hard at work, is none other than Katsushika Hokusai. It is the most famous print in Hokusai's collection known as 36 Views of Mount Fuji. The wave in the picture is so prominent that some people don't even notice Mount Fuji in the background, practically dwarfed by the white and blue wave. It is estimated that there were around 5,000 original copies of the Great Wave off Kanagawa created, but few of them survive to this day. You watch in awe as he works like the master he is on the woodblock print. And as the train continues on, you carry a feeling of magical beauty and peace, unlike anything you felt before. The cities and countryside of Japan are breathtaking. The people seem happy, going about their days, enjoying art, going to puppet theaters, choosing clothes that represent the fashion statement of the times, rather than just a necessity. It is a good time to be there, a good time to be breathing in the fresh mountain air and listening to the sound of the bamboo creaking as it's blown back and forth perpetually. You continue on deeper into the countryside. In the far distance, you see Mount Fuji rising over the horizon. Its snow-capped top is inimitable, and for the first time, you consider how remarkable it is that you can still gaze upon that same mountain today. Soon, the woman from the train approaches you again. She gives you a smile and puts several plates and bowls down before you. And, to your surprise, it doesn't look all that different from food that is eaten in Japan to this day. There's a bowl of steaming brown rice, fragrant with herbs and spices. There's a bowl of hot miso soup, and a plate of vegetables and freshly caught fish. You recline in your comfortable seat and gaze out the window as you dine on this wonderful meal. A meal that is so perfect, it hasn't changed in hundreds of years. In the distance, you spot a tunnel. As you approach it this time, you know what you're in for. You close your eyes as you go through the tunnel. A flash of light envelops you. And when you open your eyes again, there are snow-capped mountains blanketing the horizon. But around you are no fields of green. There are no Japanese houses, no kabuki theaters, or woodblock art. But the strangest part is, you are at the tail end of the Edo period. You're just on the other side of the world. The ticket in your hand glows with warmth, illuminating you in the cabin in that golden light. And on it, the American frontier magically appears. You gaze out your window with a new understanding of what you're seeing. These are fields of amber, stretching as far as your eye can see. The trees are sparse, yet beautiful, reaching up for the heavens, as if they're just there to connect the earth to them. The land is untouched by Europeans, for the most part. There are no buildings, no towns, no settlements. There are just stunning, wide open plains. As you chug through the landscape, you lean your head back and allow yourself to grow more and more sleepy. To the right of you, they finally appear, a wagon train, cutting through the landscape to make the long, long journey west. They are pioneers, making their way across the stunning expanse of land, with hopes of developing new towns and finding new farms on the other coast. They travel in covered wagons in groups of up to 100, each carrying all of their belongings on the back of a wagon. All that they need to start a new life is in the wagon, and they are unsure of what lies on the distant horizon. You watch as they ride their horses through the untamed wilderness, wind in their hair, wind that smells of sweet grass and juniper and cornflowers. In the distance, you see a tunnel in the mountain. You know what is to come, so you take a deep breath and soak up every last bit of the landscape that you can. the way the sun shines on the amber waves of grain, the way the wind makes the trees billow, the way your eyes can rest easily, staring into the wilderness without a single thing blocking your line of sight. And then, once more, you are in the tunnel. You listen to the steady rhythm of the train, the chug and the clinking of metal on metal. It's all so soothing in the darkness that you find your eyes slowly, slowly closing. The train woman lays a gentle hand on your shoulder and hands you something. You open your eyes to see a steaming cup of tea in your grasp as you emerge out of the tunnel. You wonder what's next, but then you realize where you are. You're in present times. Somewhere in the countryside in the UK, there are rolling green hills around you. A modern, quaint little town is nestled between the hills. Cars and bikes meander down the hills on this gray, rainy day. But it's peaceful, so utterly peaceful, that you feel more and more sleepy by the second. That tea will warm you up. Feel free to take it back home to your nice, cozy bed. The train woman chimes. The train finally comes to a gentle stop. The woman helps you to your feet with a kind smile. She drops a sugar cube in your tea. You watch with sleepy eyes as it dissolves before you. Then you take a sip of the calming chamomile tea. What a journey you have been on, and what a great thing to give you as you continue on your way. You wave to the train woman, thanking her for this experience. And as you step off the train under the shelter of an umbrella, warmed by the steam of the tea, you think about how truly lucky you are to be here and now. I hope you have enjoyed this sleep story, and it has brought you a night of peaceful, restful sleep. Please join me again tomorrow night for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.